John chapter 10, 3 and 4, and Revelation 2. We'll be looking at several different passages. We started a new series that we call God Encounters. We've just been talking about those moments that God, you experience God in a way that it changes your life. We started in this series, before I want to talk in this series about what those encounters are, we put the emphasis on who those encounters are with. So we said last week, probably the most important word in the phrase God encounters is not encounters, but God. And then we talked about what kind of God He is. What kind of God He is the God of all love. And so the God that wants to come close, the God that wants to encounter you, the God who's maybe not like someone that you've had a bad experience with, He's the God that has life-changing experiences ready for you. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, let me just recap this one part. What is a God encounter? A God encounter is an experience with God's love that changes you. A God encounter is an encounter with an experience with God's love that changes you. Now, you might have noticed we've shortened the service a little bit up front because for the next few weeks, as we get to that time of prayer at the end of the service, what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you to have a God encounter. And so the way we're going to do that is just give you a few worship songs at the end, time to worship, time to pray, just time to meet God. So here's what I want to ask you to do. At that point in the service, we're not going to be letting out any later than we always do, but at that point of the service, I just want to ask you, please stay with us. Please stay and don't leave. You're going to get out at the same time, but that part of the service is as important as any other. And just because we've kind of come to the traditional end of the order doesn't mean it's over. So if you would just stay, prepare your heart, prepare your mind, ask God if He has something that He's trying to tell you, and let's just seek the Lord together. Now, I want to share a really neat God encounter that happened. A couple of months ago, we were all at Soak, and I felt like the Holy Spirit had really led us to focus on God's power. So in getting ready for Soak, I started thinking about where are those moments in life and Scripture where God teaches us about what His power is, what His power does. Well, the Bible says the gospel is God's power for salvation. Spirit baptism is God's power. 1 Peter says that He has given us everything we need in Christ Jesus to live a godly life. God's power is available to help us live a godly life. His power is made perfect in weakness. But as I was standing right here in the middle of Soak that night, just standing and worshiping, it's like God began to speak to my heart and say, isn't divine healing also one of those parts of my power where I meet people? And I thought, well, yeah. And my mind immediately went, I think the Lord just put a seed in my mind, immediately went, do you know that story in Scripture where those four guys have a friend who's sick and they can't get him in to see Jesus? He's teaching in the house. The house is full. So they tear the roof off the house and they lower him down inside the house. You know that story? And so I was thinking about that. And I said, no, that doesn't say that God's power was there to heal. It says that God's presence was there to heal. So we're in the middle of Soak's just going on. Everybody's worshiping. I go over and find that story in the Bible. I said, wait a minute. It does say God's power was present to heal. One of the things God does in His power, with His power, is He divinely cures sickness in people's lives. So I knew that I ought to incorporate that when we started our prayer time. I knew that I should talk about that. In the meantime, somebody comes to me and says, you know what? I feel like God spoke to my heart, and He's saying that tonight there's somebody here who has said in their heart, this is it for me. I'm done. I'm giving God one more chance. I'm coming back to church one more time. I'm giving God one last try, and that's it. And I'm done. And so that night when I started to talk about how we would pray, I talked about God's power and I told the story of those four guys who brought their friend, lowered him through the roof. And I said that. I said, you know, I think what God is saying to us tonight is somebody is here and this is, you said in your mind, this is it. You came tonight to give God one last chance, to give church one last chance, and you're out. Now, we said that. We did our prayer time, and we went on. Let me read for you an email that I received from a lady the very next day. She said, "So thankful to have attended SOAK tonight at Kingwood. I was convinced I would try church one more time. I'd ask for healing one more time. I'd have this last ditch procedure on Wednesday to cure this calamity that is manifested as a stagnant, complicated migraine with stroke-like features that has totally halted my life to a screeching stop and crippled me. I was depressed when I remembered last week the story about what she called the stretcher bearers in the Bible, the people who carried their friend to Jesus when he couldn't carry himself. My husband has been my biggest fan and stretcher bearer. He took me to church this morning, the first time I've left the house in about a month other than going to a doctor's appointment or the emergency room. I came home and contacted my most able friends and family to come back to church with me one more time for SOAK service. I had a feeling. Tonight was life or death for me, literally. You have no idea." In the email, she said, "Thank you, Jesus, for relentlessly chasing me, forgiving me, and loving me enough to sway an entire service to remind me of your power through this madness. I now have hope." Here's her last line. "I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony." I just read this morning to show you God speaks. And when He speaks, powerful things happen that we oftentimes call God encounters. This isn't the Psychic Friends Network. This isn't Hocus Pocus. It's not smoke and mirrors. It's not like Wizard of Oz, somebody behind the curtain pulling the ropes. Don't you really want to believe? Forget what you believe. Don't you deep in your heart really want to believe that there is a God out there who loves you so much that He would interrupt some stuff to talk to you? I want to believe that. Just so happens it is true. But I also want to believe. I want it to be true. I want to believe there's somebody looking out for me. There's somebody bigger, somebody stronger. This is a great example of how God speaks to us today. And when we hear Him, incredible things happen. Now, we're talking about God encounters. Hearing God's voice is the foundation and the key for God encounters. But we sometimes build walls in our life that prevent us from hearing God's voice. Let's talk for a few minutes about some of those walls. I think some of the walls that we build or the ways that our spiritual ears get clogged or whatever in hearing God's voice, I think sometimes it just seems too complicated. When you attempt to hear God's voice, you enter into this divine internal conflict. Because you say, what if I'm wrong? Maybe it's better not to try. What if I tell somebody and it's wrong? What does that mean? What if I really thought I heard God and I act on it, and then I get a few months down the road and find out it wasn't really Him, it was me, and then I have to question whether I have the ability to hear Him or not? Right? Anybody? Too complicated. I got a lot of stuff on my mind. I got a lot of stuff on my plate. I got a lot of deep things that I got to spend time thinking through, and this is just another one of those things that it's just too complicated. I think that's one of the barriers that we put up to hearing God. I think another one of the barriers is we sometimes become intimidated by other people who seem overconfident in their ability to hear from God. Just call them. You don't need to pray. Call that person. They always hear from God. And sometimes the way people personify their ability to hear from God intimidates other people to say, I can't do that. But nobody said you had to do that. And by the way, maybe they're just not telling you when they're wrong. Maybe that's the personality type. I think one of the barriers we construct that prevents us from hearing God is we don't want to be one of those God told me people. Anybody? God told me. You know, if we don't God told me if we don't raise $1 million by February 12th, God's going to kill me. You know, crazy things like that. And we don't want to be associated with people who've done that. So rather than even trying to hear God, we just say, I don't know about that. God's just going to have to love me like I am, where I am, and that's it. I don't know how to do all that. And so all these things become layers and layers of barriers. I think, and we mentioned this already, fear of being wrong. I think that prevents us sometimes. I think sometimes we think because of our advancements in our own human development that we don't need God anymore. I mean, think about it for a minute. We really have some very sophisticated solutions to some complicated problems. And because of our advancement in technology, our advancement in medicine, our advancement in government, our advancement in science, because of our advancements, we sometimes think, well, yeah, all that hocus-pocus stuff, that's fine, but give me a solid answer. And we sometimes err on the side of depending more on human ingenuity than God's sovereign love and divine ability, because we say, I'll just sort of err on this side. We've outgrown all that. That was great for the disciples and the people in the New Testament and people in other countries in primitive cultures where they don't have medicine and they don't have clean water. And I mean, of course, people like that need to hear from. Now, we don't ever say this out loud because we know it's wrong. And we couldn't stand to hear ourselves said, but it informs our attitude. And we tend to approach. And I think that becomes a hindrance to us hearing God at all. When we go, well, you know, I'll find an answer somewhere. I think another hindrance is that we only tend to try to hear God when we're in a crisis. Really in trouble. God, I need you now. And we associate God's voice with those moments of pain or crisis. And we think He'll really only help us in those moments. But I want you to know something. God still speaks today. God wants to speak to you. And it's not as hard as you think. And all those layers of frustration become human and evil things that the enemy plants in and manipulates to separate you from the God who died to have a relationship with you. Look at John chapter 10, 3 through 4. This is Jesus describing what kind of shepherd he was. The watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice, talking about him as the good shepherd. That's who he is. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. God still speaks. He's a good shepherd and he talks. And he wants a relationship with you like that. Revelation chapter 2 verse 7 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation paints a picture of the end times as a time when the Holy Spirit is communicating and talking to God's people and he can be heard. That's the picture Revelation paints for us. God still speaks today. Let me tell you what I think it, how that happens. I used to think that the Christian life, and I do think this is deeply rooted in fundamental American Christianity. And I used to believe this. I used to think that the Christian life was really about kind of hacking out with a machete through the complications of life, through an otherwise dry existence. You know, pray, read your Bible, go to church. Do what you do. Just kind of keep hacking out the drudgery and be faithful no matter what. And I'm not saying any of those things are wrong. But just listen to me for a minute. But then when you really get in a jam, when you really get in a tight spot, when you really get in a place where your back's against the wall and there's no possible other way, then God will talk to you. He'll reward your faithfulness by talking to you then, and He'll speak to you to give you that word in a desperate moment, to get you through that, over that hump, to get you through that bad time, then you'll go back to your hacking it out. And that's what I thought. I now realize that God's voice is not like some secret cure to something that we've locked away in a vault and we only pull it out when it gets really bad. It's not like a miracle tonic. It's not like a falling star that shoots across the sky, but you've got to stand there and look and look and go out night after night after night after night. And if you're lucky, maybe one night, if you look long enough, if you look enough nights, if the sky's clear enough, maybe you'll see one. I want you to think about God's voice like thought particles that float through the air continuously. God is continuously broadcasting His thoughts through the universe, through the air, through everything He created, through His creation. He's constantly broadcast. There's a constant stream of His thoughts that are moving through creation, moving through the atmosphere continually, and they never shut off. Like a radio station that constantly sends messages around the clock. Now, sometimes we don't receive them because we're too far out of range. Sometimes we don't receive them because we've tuned into another station. Sometimes we don't hear them because we got the radio off. Sometimes we can't hear it because there's so much noise in the car. We got the window down and our cell phone on. And we're just going. But it doesn't change the fact that His voice is there. So let's talk this morning for a few minutes about how do we hear God's voice? If I'm right, and God's voice is like constantly streaming thought particles that float through the air all the time, then you and I have an ability to tap in. Let me give you a few thoughts today about how do you hear God's voice. Number one, if you're taking notes, tune in. Tune in. If they're there and if they're streaming, they feel like an interruption to us because our thoughts are not His thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. So they feel like they just broke in spontaneously and crashed in. We go, whoa, God spoke. And God's going, I don't stop. They don't feel spontaneous to Him because His thoughts are all connected to each other. Our thoughts are not perfectly connected to His thoughts, so they feel like spontaneous interruptions when they come in. But here's the thing, tune in. If I'm learning this. What a tuning fork does. A tuning fork is an instrument that's used when you strike it on something, it produces a vibration. That vibration produces a sound of unchanging pitch. And that pitch emanates out, and then all other instruments are brought into pitch by aligning to the tuning fork. God's voice is like a tuning fork. It struck before the foundations of the world were laid, and it has been moving since then, and it is constantly emanating out true pitch. And when we align ourselves to that pitch, we can hear it. When we're not aligned to it, we don't feel the vibe. Sometimes we miss God's voice because we're out of tune. We have to tune to intercept those thought particles of God's voice that are constantly moving. Our mind and our spirit, your mind and your spirit, my mind and my spirit, they regularly fall out of tune like an instrument that's thrown in the trunk and banged around and not used very. You can ask anybody on the worship team, if you mistreat your instrument, how often do you have to tune it up? Well, all the time. Constantly have to retune it. Why? It's the nature of the instrument to get out of tune. It's your nature and my nature to get out of tune with God. And we have to tune ourselves back up. We have to retune back in to hear His voice. Now, how does that happen? We do that by filling ourselves with God's thoughts. The more often I think God's thoughts, the more often I will hear God's voice. Because inside God's thoughts is God's heart. I can go to the Scripture and I can hear God's thoughts there. I can see what's been written. I can read them, and God's heart is revealed to me in Scripture. as I fill my mind with Scripture, I am tuning my spirit in to that cosmic tuning fork that was struck once and continues to move. And when I go to Scripture and I fill myself with God's thoughts, then I can begin to hear His voice. Philippians 4:8 says this, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." We have to put into our minds God's thoughts in order to stay tuned to God's voice. When Stacy and I lived in Florida, one of our teenagers, Letty, great, great young lady, watch her grow up in God. Her dad, who was a neat guy, Christian, good dad, good husband. He was a chief master sergeant in the Air Force. He was retiring. They invited us to come out to his retirement deal at the base. So we went out. Tony Andretta Lelatori. It took me 6 years of youth ministry to learn how to say that name. We went out to see Tony's retirement, and Tony got a chance to speak to his peers at his retirement. And he told one story. Let me tell you the story he told. You're at the Eglin Air Force Base, largest geographical by land mass Air Force Base in the world, U.S. base in the world. You're sitting there in the hub. Tony gets to talk at his retirement. He tells all his peers. He said, "Let me tell you," I won't even try to do his accent, "let me tell you what happened one time." He said, "I was out on the flight deck. I was praying. The Holy Spirit said to my heart, fuel the planes up, get them ready, get them out on the flight deck." Wait a minute. "God, I, are you sure I could, is this God's voice or mine? I could get in major heat for pulling the fighter planes out and, you know, all this." He said he felt so sure, so convicted. Okay, he got them out. A few minutes, Colonel calls. Colonel says, "Tony, I need all the planes fueled. I need them out on the flight deck. I need them ready to go." "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They're already there." "What?" "Tony, I said I need all the planes fueled up, out of the flight deck and ready to go." "Yes, sir. They're already there." "Why are they already there?" "Well, I was praying a few minutes ago and God told me you'd need them and He told me to fill them up, so I did." He said, "Okay, whatever." Hung up. I don't remember the greater context of the story, but there was a critical moment there where those planes had to be moved. And Tony was tuned in. And he heard what God said. Tune in. Here's another part. Sometimes we don't hear God's voice because we're not tuned in. Sometimes we don't hear God's voice because we haven't tuned out. Here's the second thing. You have to tune out other voices. You have to tune them out. We hear God's voice when we fill our minds with His Word, but we also hear God's voice when we tune out these other voices. Now, this is a character ability, and it's built over time. It's a skill and a discipline that we improve at the more that we practice it. Friday, I had the opportunity to take our youngest son, Tyler. We went over and canoed the Cahaba River. So we got out there, and it's just the rain and mud had all come through and it had all cleared out. The water was crystal clear. It looked like tap water. It was cool in the morning. We got out on the water. We shift down and hit a few rapids. And then, you know, there's nobody. I mean, there's nobody out there. There's not a house. There's not a human. There's nothing. It's like deliverance. I mean, we're out there in the jungle. You know, I'm just glad we got food with us. And so we, you know, he's 10 and I'm not much older. And so we just, you know, do all kind of crazy things. You throw rocks and see how far you can skip them and just scream as loud as you can because you don't think anybody can hear you. And we beat the oar on the bottom of the boat and make Indian sounds. Doom, 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 doom. You know, we just, you know, important stuff. Throw mud, push each other in. It's great. See a couple snakes. And then all of a sudden, Tyler said to me, "Dad, I just feel like being quiet for you. Let's just be quiet and listen." And we put the oars down sideways and we just sat and floated. And because we were so noisy, we couldn't hear. When we stopped, It was like somebody turned the volume up in the jungle. I mean, you could hear, you know, all these birds and sounds. It was like everything around us was teeming with life and alive. And it just made me think, that's how God's voice is. It's not that it's not there. It's that sometimes our life is just so loud, we can't hear it until we quiet. And when we quiet, it's amazing. But God's not going to shout. He's not going to scream. God's going to continue to broadcast those thought particles out at the same speed, at the same volume, at the same rhythm. They will be continuous. They are faithful. You can count on them. They will always be there. But we miss them like an undercurrent because sometimes we've layered so many things on top that we can't hear. I was thinking about what are some of those voices that we can tune out to hear God? I'll give you some. I mean, there's a lot more, I'm sure. But I think there are cultural voices. Voices from our culture that broadcast and speak into our soul and send messages. I think in the entertainment industry, there are at times a moral agenda. And the more we fill ourselves up with the voices of our culture, with the voice, and I'm not against entertainment, I'm not against going to see a good movie, I do all that stuff. I'm just saying, the more of that you do, you might be layering in on top of your spirit sound that's drowning out God's voice, that's tuning out His voice. So to hear God, you have to sometimes tune some of those things out. I think the media and the news cycle and political correctness and bad news and skepticism, the voices and the themes that are sown into, intertwined into our culture, those voices that are constantly coming in, constantly getting tweets, constantly getting texts, constantly getting emails, constantly checking the news, checking this, checking that. That stuff can become so loud coming in on you. I'm not, in and of themselves, I'm not against any of them. I'm just saying when they get to a critical mass level that they're so loud, it's like you're beating a boat oar in the bottom of your canoe and you can't even hear God. Then they have to be tuned out. They don't have to be completely eliminated, but they have to be tuned out. Then I think there's social voices. There are people that just literally go from one gossip session to another gossip session to another gossip session to another gossip session. And I'm telling you, if you fill your voice up with gossip and bad news about other people, you're going to have a hard time hearing God. You just will. Because you got all these stories and all this information flooding through your soul about other people. And you're tuning God out. I'm saying you got to tune some of those things out. You hear people say negative things. You got to tune people's negative voice out. Skepticism, cynicism. But then here's the deal. Just when you get all that stuff quieted, now watch this. Just when you get all that stuff quieted and you go, okay, I'm going to tune out these things so that I can hear God, and you finally get still and you get quiet, you know what happens a lot of times? The internal voices inside you are so loud now you can't hear God. Because so many times in our culture, we use noise as a coping mechanism. And when you slow down and try to get yourself quiet, you realize you're just as noisy as everybody else. And then you have to start working on how do I quiet my soul? Psalm says, 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And you have to then slow your own soul down. When maybe in about 99, I was on a missions trip in Argentina, and the missionary was translating between me and the local pastor, and just as I was kind of hanging out in the church, everything, I just started to say some things about how, because we had been there the year before, and then I just began to say some things about how great the church was doing, how many great things were happening in the church, and the missionary discerned what was happening, and I didn't. And he said, wait, let's come over here and I want you to tell the pastor what you just told me. So I just start telling him my thoughts. And then those thoughts took on a life of their own and started to increase and grow, and I started to, and I was going, what am I doing? I'm saying things that I don't even know what I'm saying, and I have no idea how I even know these are true. I don't have no idea. This is 7,000 miles from home. I don't know. And so I'm just saying this. And I don't know Spanish, and so the pastor has this blank look on his face looking at me. I mean, he's a real jovial guy. He went straight flat and staring at me. And I'm going, I don't know if he's mad at me. I don't know if he wants to kill me. I don't know what's going to happen to me. And all of a sudden, he stops while we're talking. Wait. And he calls people in. Calls his wife in. Come here. And so they tell me, tell him. Okay, so I tell him. I don't know if this is getting worse or better. So I tell him. Then he calls his board of deacons in. Then he calls some of his ministry leaders in. Tell him. And I don't even remember what it was. Whatever it was a gift of the Holy Spirit, some things. It was thought particles that were being broadcast that I had tuned in and picked up on and began to relay to him. And they were he just called everybody in that little room and stopped and prayed. That church had gone through a massive crisis and almost split in half. And whatever all the stuff was, I was speaking right to it and didn't know it. But look, here's the reason I was able to speak to it. Watch this. All the other voices in my life had been tuned out for me. I didn't know the language. I didn't know the culture. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't have anybody else to listen to but God. So those things flood. I had nothing to depend on. Some of the things that I depend on humanly to do ministry in this culture weren't there in that one. They were gone. So whatever my ability to minister to Americans was, whatever I've learned in my experience in working with English-speaking American, it was all gone. It was all gone. And God used that to tune out those other things I didn't need anyway. And was able to tune in to what the Holy Spirit said. And it rocked that whole moment. That's what happens when you're able to tune out. Now here's the last one and then we'll pray. Tune up. Sometimes we listen and we listen and we listen and we listen and we take in so many of the voices of the agendas, of the messages from our culture that they clog up the lifeline that we have to get to God. And that lifeline has to be unclogged. And so, it's not as simple as tuning up an instrument or tuning in an instrument. We really talked about it last week. We need a soul overhaul. We need an encounter with God. And we need Him to come in and blow some of this stuff that's gotten caught up in our soul and our spirit. Maybe we need healing. Maybe we need deliverance. Maybe we need freedom. Maybe we need forgiveness. Maybe we need to let some things go. It gets clogged up in there and we have a hard time hearing. We get frustrated. We get angry. We get worried. And those things tend to dominate. When that happens, go back to Philippians 4:8. And ask the question, when things are going bad, when things are going wrong, when you're worried, when you have fear, when you have anger, and those things are dominating you, it's hard to hear God in those moments. Begin to ask yourself what Philippians 4:8 says. What is good? What is lovely? What is honorable? What is happening right now that's pure? What is happening right now that's good? What is going on in my life what's going on in the universe that's good? And you start to change your focus and you're tuning yourself back in with God. And you're letting some of those things go. You don't have to be dishonest about them. Tell God what's going on and surrender it. Hebrews 12:1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. The foundation, I'm going to ask the worship team to come now. The foundation of God encounters is hearing God's voice. That's where it starts. You may say, I've never had an experience with God like that. Don't try to have one. It's It's what he does. It's not what we do. What we do is we hear him and follow him. And he's a good shepherd. He'll lead us into the right places. He'll lead us into the experiences that we need the most. And he'll do it because he loves us. This morning, let's give God space to experience his love through his voice. So here's what we've done. Here in the front and then there in the back. Would you stand with me? We have placed communion tables. And those of you who are serving communion, would you go ahead and move to your table? Prayer team, would you come too? And I'm going to have the prayer team just stand between. Prayer team, if you'll just kind of stand between these tables. Just sort of stand here. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a couple of songs. We're going to worship God. But what we wanted to do this morning is set an atmosphere where you could encounter God, where you could hear his voice. And this is completely optional. Our goal is not to get everybody to take communion. Our goal is not to get everybody to do anything. We're going to pray. And as you say, you know, I think I want to do that. I think God's going to draw me into this. Then you feel free to come and we'll have someone serve communion to you. Here on these tables, let me tell you, this is really neat. This is a scripture table. And we've got some really key scriptures here about God's voice and God's word. And if you want, while we worship, you just come and read these. Then here's what I want you to do. Here's a little note. A blank sheet of paper. Write on this piece of paper what it is that you think is preventing you from hearing God. Things that you need to tune out. Worry, fear, rejection, frustration, anxiety. Whatever it is that you think you need to tune out. Maybe you do too much media. Maybe you do too much whatever. It's just something you need to tune out. Write it and then watch this. This looks like a Bible. But here's what we're going to do. You're going to put it inside the Bible. And you're going to say, God, I want to tune this out. And I'm going to tell you what. When you do this, God's going to meet you here. And you're going to remember this. God, I want to bury in your word these things that are preventing me from hearing your voice. So you can put it in there and then read the scripture. You can read the scripture and then put it in there. But you're saying, God, I want to tune my mind in to your word. I want to tune these things out. I'm going to hide them. I'm going to hide them in your word. And I'm going to believe this morning that your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can divide and separate these things for me. Amen? So here's what I want you to do. Close your eyes, and I just want you to pray with me, and then we'll begin to worship. And if you, please don't leave. Worship in this moment. Find God now. If you need prayer, the prayer team's here. You need communion, there's stations in the front and the back. Scripture tables in the front and in the back. Balcony, you're welcome. We'll wait for you. You come. Let's pray together. Repeat this prayer after me today. Dear Jesus, today, I tune my heart to hear your voice. Teach me how to quiet the noise of my soul so I can hear your voice and follow you. Help me to realize that you want me to hear your voice more than I want to hear it. In Jesus' name.